In Galatians 5:22 and 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Today we come to the last of these, gentleness and self-control. To the end of the list of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul adds this comment in his letter to the Galatians. He says, "Against these there is no law," which is curious, because at least faithfulness to Jesus Christ and to the gospel of salvation by faith in Him was already getting Christians into legal trouble at Paul's time, not least Paul himself. So while faithfulness in the abstract was not against the law, refusal to participate in the cult of the Roman emperor that faithfulness required from Christians was. Our first lesson from 1 Peter 3 acknowledges this, saying in verses 13 through 16, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Sometimes we will suffer for the sake of righteousness, and we need to be prepared to endure that suffering, even under penalty of law. For as Peter writes in verses 17 and 18, "It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." It's a remarkable paradox. Even being put to death can make us alive, as the witness of many martyrs attests. In his suffering and death, Jesus was both gentle and self-controlled toward his persecutors, not lashing out at them or summoning angels to destroy them. Instead, he prayed for them, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He did not shirk his task of bearing the sin of the world and carrying it to the cross to put it to death. And how was Jesus able to do this? I won't claim to know all the answers, but among them was his security in his Father's love. Gentle people tend to be steady and confident people who know that having been baptized into God's family, their dignity and self-worth cannot be undercut or taken away. Gentleness, humility, willingness to yield, those are not traits of someone who is desperate, who is having to prove something to justify their existence or maintain their social standing. Gentleness comes from people who, spiritually, have a full tank and a solid balance sheet. Gentleness is the behavior of the baptized, spiritually rich and confident, who feast on the Lord's own body and blood, who listen to his word, and who are affirmed and cared for by those close to them. And so too is self-control, which keeps us from lashing out or flying off the handle or getting sarcastic with those who hurt us or whom we despise. When people ask me what my favorite form of government is, I like to reply, self-government. And while it is a kind of government over which we have substantial influence, we need continual refreshment and inspiration by the Spirit in order to control ourselves. Just as we can't have a good civil government without good citizens, we can't have good self-government without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Simple determination and willfulness is not enough. We need God to take over and to bear the fruit of his victory over not just individual sins, but over our sinful nature, the old Adam within us. And so while we may appear to govern ourselves, it's actually in dying to self and being born anew in Christ that yields gentleness and self-control in us. Attempting to walk according to the Spirit by our own power is a little like trying to walk the line in a sobriety test when we're intoxicated. We can't do it. We need to be purged and cleansed and sobered up. We need to acknowledge our weakness and to daily ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, that we may bear the fruit of that Spirit rather than the many unholy spirits that would inhabit us in the Holy Spirit's absence. Thanks be to God for showing us the way of life, for taking on himself the crushing weight of our sin, for putting it to death on the cross, that we might walk in newness of life, bearing good fruit as we go.